Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory tonight. Father, those who came out tonight really want to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And I'm asking right now, Father, that you move upon each and every one. And Father God, I know so many other people have so many unanswered questions. But tonight, during the service, anytime you feel like it, answer the questions, Father. Bring them up higher with you. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I ran across this article and I'd like to read this. She said, as I was praying recently, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want to take people from breakthrough to breathtaking. If you could understand what God is trying to do and what the end result looks like, you would keep going. If you could truly see even just a glimpse of what God has in store for you, you would not give up. And when your breakthrough happens, God does not want to just leave you there. God wants to take you from your breakthrough and take you into something truly breathtaking. When the favor of God rests upon your life, it will be breathtaking what God will do in and through your life. I believe this is a season where many people are in a season of laboring. Many feel like this season is of hard work and crying out to God will never end. But I want to encourage you. Breakthrough is going to come to you. It is inevitable. However, as you wait, you must remember that you are not laboring in vain. Those who do not give up will reap a breathtaking harvest. As you endure through the hard seasons, you will receive breakthrough and move into the breathtaking purpose God has for you. Opposition will come to oppose your breakthrough, but you must stay in the fight. Do not back up or even give in. Don't give the enemy even an inch. Remember that you are fighting for the breakthrough and the breathtaking. God will fight for you as long as you do not give up. There is a reason that the Apostle Paul called it the good fight of faith. When you have a prophetic word or promise from God, you have a powerful weapon to fight the enemy. If God says you can have something, you can have it. Fight for your breakthrough. In this season, when your breakthrough comes, it will not be like a small trickle of water. It will be like a dam busting open. Some people cannot step into a breakthrough because of a limiting mindset. Our mindsets are shifted when we enlarge our faith and believe what God has promised us. Then breakthrough is released. In other words, you have to have faith so that your mind, what you're thinking in your mind is shifted into the positive things that God has spoken. As a breakthrough is released, our faith grows, our endurance is strengthened, and we are able to step into the breathtaking things of the Lord. Expect your breakthrough. Expect for the breathtaking to follow the breakthrough. So I'm not waiting for 2020 to break through. Just any second of any day, I'm waiting for the breathtaking. Amen. And I mean that's the truth. I'm not waiting for another year to come into existence. I just know that God can move in any time He wants to. And this morning I received a prophetic word from somebody, and they said that they were getting dressed, and God said, I want you to sit down. I want to tell you something to Pastor Barbara. And so they wrote it down and sent it to me, and they said, I hope this witnesses to your spirit. And it did. It was exactly what God had spoken to me, so it was a confirmation. But see, that's how God works. He can use anybody at any time to send you a confirmation of anything that He's spoken to you. All right? Tonight, we're going to talk about the last second. The last second. John 13, verse 1, don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. There is plenty of room for you in my Father's house. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And this is Jesus speaking. And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live, and you already know the road I'm taking. Then Thomas said, Master, we have no idea where you're going. How do you expect us to know the road? And Jesus said, I am the road, also the truth, also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. A lot of us are like Thomas. We don't have any idea what you're talking about, Father, right? Then John 14:16. I will talk to Jesus still. I will talk to the Father, and he will provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you, which is the Holy Spirit. This friend is a spirit of truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for, but you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. All right. Now this is what Jesus said. In this dispensation of time, this is what he prophesied, in this dispensation of time, my people are always looking for the last second to accomplish anything in life. What happened to the dispensation of time of don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today? They are going about their business as usual, but ignoring the most important aspect of life, and that is their eternal salvation. Look around about you. What does a church look like? Is it on fire for me, or laden down with worries and concern for the future? Believe it or not, the future will take care of itself. Life is going to happen whether you worry about it or not. Did you get that? Life is just going to happen. God went on to say, the time machine of life keeps turning and the events in history are going to take place no matter how much you worry about this. Now, I was going to give this to you Sunday morning because God gave it to me last week, but then he changed the agenda and had me give you what I gave you Sunday. So I said, I'm going to give this message. Amen. So Matthew 6:25 says, do not worry. Jesus said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. What you will wear is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, I want you to stop there because, you know, many times I go out on my patio and I stand there and look at the trees and the birds. And who feeds those birds? Me. I buy the birds the sunflower seeds and put them in their little boxes out there. So God, again, here God said, look at the birds are there. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. So how does the Heavenly Father feed them? Through me or through you, you know. So who's going to give into your life when God promised you're going to have something? Who's he going to use? People. See that? He uses people to bless you. And verse 22 says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. See that? Would you please tell that child to get her hair out of her face? I think I'm looking at that dear little guy on TV. Thank you. But seek first, Jesus said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. See, God's in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And after you seek God and his righteousness, then all these things will be given to you. A lot of people want God to bless them while they're in sin, and that does not work. You have to be seeking his face and getting your life straightened out, and then he'll bless you. Then God went on to prophesy, what has happened to prayer? Why are my peoples not praying? For the future of the country, their future, the future of the church, the future of their children. If my people who call themselves by my name would humble themselves and pray, worry would go out the window, and miracles would start taking place. But no, this generation would rather worry and complain than take their problems to the heavenly throne room. So 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." If and then. You always watch for the if and the and then in the word, even in your prophetic words. God said, "I want to heal your land. I want to send you the miracle that you need. But you will not untie my hands." You say, "How do I tie your hands?" Number one, you tie my hands when you keep fretting about things that you cannot change in the natural. Number two, you tie my hands when you keep rehearsing over and over again your everyday problems. And he says the list goes on and on. See that? I have a hard time. I'm going to say it's in. And so I have to really give this to God. I have a hard time with a married couple, both work. And you know, and the man has a lot of extra activity, and he has to go home and do housework. That bothers me. Housework is a woman's job. You can work together. But it really bothers me when your husband has to come home after a hard, are you guilty? You're grinning really big. But a hard day work, and then he has to pick up your stuff you should have been doing or should be helping with. So that's a pet peeve of mine. And you hear it at my house all the time. I don't care if you work or not. You come home and you work together and you get the thing done. And I tell my kids, I'm training my young kids, you will help me work. You make it dirty, you're going to clean it up. We'll clean it up together. See, the families are so fragmented. They're so lopsided that they don't. That's why God can't bless. "Well, I'm tired. I'm going to put my feet up and rest while you do the dishes. Or you clean the bathroom," whatever it is they're doing. You should be saying, "Well, you know, we both worked hard and we're both going to get this done and we'll just rest together," right? Well, that's my little peeve, so I'll go on here. Okay. "I am calling you forth this day to let go of your problems." See, and I have to let go of that. Because I hear that so much, I have to let go of that, right? I am calling you forth this day to let go of your problems and come to me in total surrender and allow me to truly handle every situation in your life. I am calling you forth this day to let go of your problems and come to me in total surrender and allow me to truly handle every situation in your life. God said, "How many times have I spoken and said, do not die in your winter months. Do not die in your wilderness experiences. Do not die in the storms of life." He's told that over and over again. "What if," and God said, "what if, just what if, my son Jesus of Nazareth would have given up before the cross event?" Then he said, "What if, just what if, he would have said, I don't trust you, Father, to accomplish all things through the cross? What if, just what if, in the garden when he said, if it be possible, he would not have said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. What if he would have done that?" So many what ifs, and you do not have any answers for what your what ifs, but I do. God said, but I do. Matthew 26:36, Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. See, Jesus did not want to go to that cross. I don't blame him. He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is..." See, he was opening up to his disciples. "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." He wanted somebody with him in his final hours. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, Jesus went away and prayed. And he said, My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done. If I had to be kicked out of my house and sleep on the street, Father, your will be done. You see this? And again, Jesus came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, Jesus went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Sleep and take your rest. Later on, see, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Jesus said to them, Sleep and take your rest later on. Now's not the time to be sleeping. Church, now is not the time for us to be sleeping. We need to be on the alert at all costs. If you read the news in any way, shape, or form, you're going to find out that we're headed for some really rough storms. Was it Russia or China? Who was it said, America, watch out for your Christmas present? Korea? Was it Korea? You read that? The threatening that something's going to happen on Christmas. See, and the church is sleeping. The church is not praying like they ought to be praying. And therefore, we're tying God's hands because he can't move as long as we don't do what we're supposed to be doing. So then God went on and said, Just as I had all my sons answered, laid out before him, I have all your answers already laid out before you. And if you would just bring your concerns to me first, but alas, my peoples who say they love me bring their concerns to me at the last second and want me to pull the rabbit out of the hat. And he said, I could do that, but that is not how I want my children to react to me. I am not a genie. I am your father from above, and I wonderfully formed you in your mother's womb, and I brought you forth into a lost and dying world with my breath in your nostrils and the blood of my son Jesus as a mighty weapon of warfare. Bring your concerns to him first, and then to me second. You see what I'm saying? God says, you have so many weapons of warfare that you can draw from, but you choose to worry and fret instead. How many times have I called you to take the high road, and instead you took the low road of fret and worry? You are concerned about so many things when, in fact, I have called you for it to be a strong tower that others can run into. Is the shoe getting tighter and tighter as we go? All right, I looked up the word concerned, and it basically means that you recognize something bad could potentially happen, so you are expressing concern or bringing attention to the issue because you feel it is important or unresolved. We are concerned that the new business plan will cause a company to lose money. Worried is a little more serious than concerned. Okay? When you worry, it's different than that you're concerned about something. But I see the body of Christ, they worry and fret about every little thing. And God wants us to stop it. Proverbs 18:10 says, The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. Now, strong tower is no storm or fear or force of destruction will destroy this tower. For it is Yahweh God. It always has been, and it is, and it will exist. God is our strong tower. You need never fear of this tower disappearing. Note also that it is a strong tower. The word strong is oz, which comes from the root word O-Z-A-Z. How you pronounce that, Astra? Okay. It means strength, hardened. It also means a place of refuge and a fortified cities. Now, because God is a strong tower that we run into, God calls his children to be strong towers that others can run into and learn about him. Hasn't God been telling us, I want you to be strong towers that others can run into? That's why I put that down there, because he's been constantly telling us to be strong towers. All right, so it means strength and hardened. It also means a place of refuge and a fortified cities. Is that what our sign says, refuge in the storm? Yeah, God had me put that up years ago. Didn't know what it was for, but he said to do it, so I did it. So we know why we're here, right? All right, God said, the reason you worry and fret is because you are concerned about the things in the world. At 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So let's go back up there. What did God say? The reason you worry and fret is because you are concerned about the things in the world. You know, you need to quit doing that. All right, let's take a look at Job in Job chapter 1, verse 13. Job loses everything. Job's sons and daughters were having a feast in the home of his oldest son. When someone rushed up to Job and said, while your servants were plowing with your oxen and your donkeys were nearby eating grass, a gang of Sabians attacked and stole the oxen and donkeys. Your other servants were killed, and I was the only one who escaped to tell you. Now, why did this all happen? It was all happened because Satan went before the throne of God and asked to have Job. And what did God say? You can do anything you want to do, just don't kill him. All right? So this is what went on after that little conversation between Satan and God. Verse 16. That servant was still speaking when a second one came running up and saying, God sent down a fire that killed your sheep and your servants. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Before that servant finished speaking, a third one raised up and said, three gangs of Chaldeans attacked and stole your camels. All of your other servants were killed, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you. That servant was still speaking when a fourth one dashed up and said, your children were having a feast and drinking wine at the home of your oldest son, when suddenly a windstorm from the desert blew the house down, crushing all of your children. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. And when Job heard this, he tore his clothes and shaved his head because of his great sorrow. He knelt on the ground, then worshiped God. He didn't say, oh, God, this is ridiculous. He worshiped God and said, we bring nothing at birth. This is what Job said to God. We bring nothing at birth. We take nothing with us at death. The Lord alone gives and takes. Praise the name of the Lord. You took everything I have, but I praise your name. In spite of everything, Job did not sin or accuse God of doing wrong. Job did not lose his faith. What did Job say in Job 1:21? Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I'll return to the womb of the earth. God gives and God takes. God's name be forever blessed. Oh, come on. Y'all couldn't have done that. You couldn't have done that. You and I, when God told me I was going through a Job experience, I went through this. Everything was taken from me. And I said, God, Job said, naked I come into the world, naked I'm going to go out of the world. You give and you take. So I'm just going to thank you for it right now. And that brought me through that. All right, God said, notice how quickly Job was stripped of everything and how he responded with total faith. You ask, how could he do this? You know, this is God speaking. He did this because he did not wait until the last second to get his house in order. He had his house in order all the days of his life, and he knew who his maker was. He lived and moved in mountain-moving faith. Read that again. God said, notice how quickly Job was stripped of everything and how he responded with total faith. You ask, how could he do this? He did this because he did not wait until the last second to get his house in order. That's a spiritual walk we're talking about. He had his house in order all the days of his life, and he knew who his maker was. He lived and moved in mountain-moving faith. And what do I always tell you? I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know who called me to preach. So it doesn't matter what anybody says, what anybody does, what the enemy does. I walk in total faith. I know who I am. And you can't knock me down, devil. I know who I am. In Job 1:1, it says, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. But look what he went through. Well, God, I serve you. I give my life to you. How come you're allowing all this to go on? Job didn't say that, did he? And let's look at Job chapter 2, verse 1. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. See, Satan goes before God's throne. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Don't you hope he forgets your name? You know, Satan didn't say, I want Job. God said, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. This is God telling this to Satan. And he still maintains his integrity. See, there's that integrity word. Though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason, you know, see, God said he ruined Job. He did all that. Skin for skin, Satan replied. They're just like Satan. A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. And good old God said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. You wonder why you're going through some of the things you're going through? Because, you know, if you're righteous and upright, God knows that you're not going to give in. So he's showing Satan what a true disciple you truly are. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sore from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. You wonder why you're sick? Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. Then look here, his wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. Job replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. When Job's three friends heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with Job and comfort him. When they saw Job from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one had said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. You haven't suffered. Get out of here. You really haven't. And God said, in all Job's suffering, he did not lose his faith nor his integrity. Integrity is a practice of being honest and showing a consistent and uncompromising adherence to strong moral and ethical principles and values. And God said, all right, integrity is the practice of being honest and showing a consistent and uncompromising adherence to strong moral and ethical principles and values. God said, I am encouraging each and every one of you to not wait till the last second to start walking out your salvation. For you do not know when I will be calling you home. Don't wait for the last second to work on your love walk, for I cannot use you if your love walk is not in full swing. B, don't wait for the last second to work on unfaltering faith, for this new era needs your faith to be in full swing daily. C, do not wait for the last second to work on your total commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without total commitment, you will not be able to take the gospel to the lost and dying. And D, don't wait for the last second to work on your exceeding gratitude for your Creator. That was all God speaking that. This faulty life perspective causes us to take His divine gift of life for granted. This stupid way the church thinks. Causes us to take His divine gift of life for granted. As a result, we live in discontent and misery, complaining about what we don't have and failing to express genuine appreciation for what we do have. Are you listening here? As a result, we live in discontent and misery, complaining about what we don't have and failing to express genuine appreciation for what we do have. Then God said the last second could be your Job experience, and because you have already mapped out your walk of faith with me, nothing will cause you to stumble nor fall. Then God said the last second is the second you take your last breath, and no one knows what that day or hour. God said the last second is the second you make up your mind to serve me and only me throughout eternity and begin to live the lifestyle of my son Jesus. God says for some of you, this is your last second. I will not be coming your way ever again. You must decide this day whom you will serve and then do so. Always remember that I am not a man that I should lie. Let's stop there. You know, God is a good God. He's a gentle and a gracious God. He's a loving God. And it doesn't matter what you did in your past. It's what are you doing today? It doesn't matter how bad somebody hurt you in the past or even just yesterday. What about today? Are you going to die because somebody didn't look at you right, or your husband didn't do what you thought he should do, or your wife didn't do, or a friend didn't do? Yeah, come on, church. If you continue to read about Job, he ended up with more in the end than he had in the beginning, and he was one of the wealthiest men around in the beginning. And so if he had more, he was really wealthy, right? All because he kept his integrity. He did not curse God and kept his faith. Joshua 24:15 says, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's the first thing that Larry did when we moved into our home. He went out and bought that sign. It's still hanging in my den. He said, "We will serve the Lord in this house." And, you know, he had his struggles, but he did serve God. Numbers 23:19. "God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it?" Look at that again. God is not a man that he should lie, because all men lie. "Or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it?" You can't really trust men and women. They're fickle. And they'll tell you one thing one second and do something totally different the next, right? But God is not like that. He does not change his mind. You know, I was sitting today, and well, I wasn't sitting, I was doing something, and God said, "All right, daughter, get it out in the open." He knows your thoughts, you know? And I said, "All right." So I started talking to him. He said, "What did I tell you I was going to do about that?" He said, "I'm still going to do it. Are you going to continue to trust me to do it in my timing and not yours?" Do you all understand this? Are you in your last second? Could you be drawing your last breath? Is your salvation secure in God? You need to be very, very watchful at this given time, because the enemy is coming in the back door. And he's trying to steal from you everything God has given you. Now it's up to you whether or not you keep it. I read another article about an hour before I left the house where it says, if the church, the true church, would really get right with God, the people that's leaving the churches would not be leaving the churches. But they said that the church is supposed to be the true church, is not living for God, and they have no faith, and they're mingling with the world. You know, their doubt and unbelief is mingling with the world. And so the other people around about you are walking away because they don't want what you have. They already had that before they came into the doors. Are you listening here? So we have to maintain our faith, our integrity, no matter what's going on around about us. We have to maintain our integrity, and we have to stay the course. And it doesn't matter what goes on around about you. You have to finish your race with integrity. You never know when you walk through that door, you could have an accident. So you never know what's going to happen with your life. So why do you throw it away all the time? You know, you get all upset about things, get distraught, talk about people, do all manner of evil. Why do you do that? And see, whenever you go out in this world and you start ministering to people, you need to tell and say that to people. Why are you doing this? But first of all, your walk has to be secure with God. You know, you can't be wobbling here and wobbling there. You have to be secure in God. People are watching you. I had a young man in my house. He was there when I left. It's one of my grandson's friends. And he says, you know, everybody calls me Mom. But he says, you know, Mom, you never change. He says, no matter what's going on here at this house, no matter what's going on in your life, you never change. You're always talking about God. And, you know, he lost his dog. You know, some people think their dogs are their kids. You know that. And then there's nothing wrong with that. And he lost his dog about a month ago or 2 months ago. And he came up there and I said, what's going on? And he just broke down crying. He said, I had to bury my dog. And, you know, so I sat there and talked to him, you know, and I spoke about peace to him. And I encouraged him. I encouraged him to go get another dog right away. He said, well, no, then I'll be dishonoring her name. I said, no, you won't. I said, go and get another dog right away to take its place. And put the love that you're just throwing out there with a dog that doesn't exist anymore, put it into a human, you know, a human dog. And so he's been trying now to find a dog. He said, you know, that really encouraged me because he really wanted to die because his dog died. And he said, that really encouraged me and I was able to go on living. And he said, I am looking for another dog. I've seen a couple, but they just didn't, you know, just weren't what I wanted. So you see, you know, you have to encourage people to go on no matter what's going on around about them. They can't die in that spot, right? You know, if you lost your best friend, you know, I don't mean they die. They just do something dumb and walk away from you. You're not supposed to die there. It's like God told me when my mother passed away. After 2 years, he said, you're going to die with your mother. You're going to start walking among the living and do what you're supposed to be doing. And I didn't know I was doing that. But God had to tell me that's what I was doing, so I had to repent and not die with her. She wouldn't have wanted that, but go on with the living, no matter how much I missed her. Are you understanding here? Come on. So, God said, don't wait till your last second. Are you going to make up your mind tonight to really serve God and only God? Not yourself, but God and only God. And no matter what Satan does to you, you know, you read right here where God allowed all this stuff to happen. He caused this stuff to happen to Job. And he loved Job with all of his heart, bragged about Job, yet he also let the Satan. Well, he said, you tempted me into doing this to my son. Well, if you're really God, you wouldn't let all this happen to me, and I would be walking in peace. That's not true. He's really God, and that's why you're going through trouble. Come on. And you don't want to end up whenever you die down in hell saying, I wished I would have went through all my trials and tribulations and kept serving God and doing what was right. It's up to you. Do you want to recommit yourself to God tonight? Say, God, I don't want this to be a last second thing. I want to be really totally committed to you tonight. And I'm not going to look to the right nor to the left. I'm not going to be complaining like I have been right before I walked into the doors. I'm going to be walking in perfect peace and harmony with you. I'm going to keep build my faith and keep it going. Amen. Come on. Every time we walk into Walmart, the kids say, let's run and say hello to Nancy. And if she's not there, they're all disappointed. And you know, that's how God is. Every day you get up, he wants you to run and say hello to him. And if you don't, he's disappointed because he expects you to come and say hello to him. And I'm not going to ask for hands because a lot of you are guilty. But when you open your eyes, the first thing you say, oh, God, I'm going to get out of bed. The altar's open. If you want to commit yourself to being not a last second person, but committing tonight, and then stay committed. Don't get back out of there again. God is good, and I feel good tonight. And, you know, we had a nice song service, Rejoicing, right? It made us come alive, you know. And no matter what happened during the day, you forgot about that, and you just rejoice. Well, after you commit yourself totally and completely to God tonight, you're going to live like that continually. Constantly rejoicing.